Good morning. It's good to see everybody out this morning. I may start hacking and coughing in the middle of this. If that happens, just carry on, right? Made it through Christmas, and that's always a good thing to make it through all of these extras that this time of year brings about. And so during this time when Jesus was born, a time when God's people were being abused by the Romans, they were being abused by their own religious and civic leaders, the people were waiting for an end to that. The prophets had spoke of a Messiah that would be born, and that was the message that the people would hear going forward, was waiting for this Messiah that would come to change the world. And so it's amazing that we live in a time that we are able to still celebrate the coming of the Lord, the birthing of Jesus, that we get to celebrate this and have been able to do so. And not just because it falls on December 25, it's what we get to celebrate, not the presents and Santa and all those things, and those are all good things, maybe even great things. But we get to celebrate the birth of the risen Lord, and in doing so, we can anticipate his coming again. And that's what this season should be reminding us of, that we should never be forgetful about how powerful the blessings are when Christ came into this world. Way back in the old century, 1914, there was what we had going on called the Great War. And they considered that to be the war to end all wars. And lo and behold, it was not, right? So we had to change the name of the Great War to World War I, because just a few years later, we got World War II. And so in 1914, though, most of Europe had been ignited in this fierce conflict. There were two sides literally entrenched on the Western Front. There's also an Eastern Front. But the Western Front is what we'll be looking at this morning. And on that Western Front, both lines again were entrenched for most of the war. That line did not move very much. And they would exchange fire across this no man's land, maybe try to shoot each other, maybe try to make a little bit of advancements to get a little bit further on. But really no movement was made a whole lot. And on Christmas Eve of 1914, something kind of weird happened. The war had been raging for about 5 months, and it's going to take years for this war to finish. But about five months in, almost 800,000 men had died or had been wounded at this point. At this point, nobody knows how long this war is going to go on. Both sides are wondering on this Christmas Eve, is tomorrow going to look just like today? But sometime during that night, the British soldiers began making reports of hearing what sounded to be Christmas carols coming from the German trenches. And so the Brits decided to join in too. And both sides started singing Christmas together until the time dawn had risen, and the Christmas morning had some pretty brave souls that decided to call out to the other side and say, "Hey, if you're willing to meet up, let's see what happens." And slowly, some soldiers started crawling out of their trenches, and they started meeting in that no man's land. Germans, British soldiers, they all started enjoying some time together, exchanging pleasantries. They got to know their enemy a little bit. They exchanged some small gifts, maybe something like cigarette tins, but they exchanged some gifts. And reports were even made that a soccer game broke out. Now, that's not just a nice tale to invent. There are reports of this happening all the way down the Western Front. And no other reason for this to happen, this Christmas truce to happen, other than the fact that it was just simply Christmas Day. And so I say that to say, never underestimate the power of the extra blessings that this time of year can truly be. The Christmas story, as the world likes to call it, reminds us that we are given a gift that literally changed the entire world. And of course, that gift is that of Christ's presence. Now that isn't stuff we get under the tree. Again, those are good things. But this time of year reminds us of the presence that literally of God himself becoming man. That's what Christmas essentially means, that God came in the flesh.
Christ becoming human gave us not just God in theory, right? Not just God way up in heaven somewhere. The birth of Christ gave us someone who would live, who would breathe, who would be just like us in all the ways of what it means to be human. He would walk around, he would need to eat, he would need to sleep, he would need to do all of the things that we need to do. And that's God. God chose to live like us, and I think that means so much to us, that those of us who are in Christ. You think about, as it was read earlier, how that angel made that announcement to the shepherds. And verse 9 says that the angel of the Lord appeared to the shepherds, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." Again, God became human, and it changed the world. It changed how we view our time. It changed how we understand our relationship with God. It changed that now we have a clear path to God. His presence is still felt today. His presence is still affecting us because when Christ came, he gave us hope. He gave us joy, and that presence is still with us. And that is an extra blessing. You look at how Paul talks about it in Galatians 4. Paul says, "But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent his Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, 'Abba, Father.' So you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir through God." That's what this time of year is all about. It is that God came for us. God came to redeem us, not just to wash away our sins, although that's certainly part of it. He came so that we could be called children of God. And that's the beauty of God being born into this world, is that with Jesus, we were given a brother like no other brother, right? Like no other in this whole world. And we are truly blessed by God sending Christ to be with us. This blessing is something that a lot of us, I think, probably take for granted. Like my normal Christmas schedule focuses on giving, and it focuses on presents, and it does focus on the joy, but I don't think I really spend a whole lot of time in my normal schedule of Christmas focusing on Christ. And I think that should kind of jolt me back to saying, what is this all about? This event isn't just an event that we get to celebrate and exchange gifts. This is an event that changed the entire world. It's just not just when Jesus was born, it's also that he's going to grow up, right? And he's going to die, and he's going to be raised back to life. But in this moment that we understood, God knew what it was like to put flesh on. And in this moment, we are blessed, and we continue to be blessed because we have life in him for eternity is what the promise is. The question I think we can focus on this morning is, what do we do with that extra blessing? We've been talking about extra righteousness, extra waiting, all of these extra things that comes with this time of the season. We recognize that Jesus gives us extra blessing. So what do we do with the extra blessing? I think first is we are blessed to bless others. We have been given an extra blessing so that we can pour it out onto others. We were never meant to withhold the blessing that we had just received ourselves. It's meant to be poured out onto others. Look how Paul says it in 2 Corinthians. He says, "For you know that the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you by his poverty might become rich." Paul is saying that Jesus became poor. What he really means by that is that Jesus was born. He was leaving the heavenly realms, the riches of the place that all of us want to go to one day. He left that to become poor like us. And he did it for us. Now, in the context of what Paul is talking about in 2 Corinthians, he's talking about giving money to those who are really in need. That's the context of 2 Corinthians 8. But Paul bases it on the incarnation of Jesus. You think about it. Have you ever noticed how many charities are asking for money this time of year? You go into Walmart, you'll probably see somebody out ringing the bell. You can't even check out at Dollar General without the little machine asking you if you want to donate a little money. Maybe for some it gets a little bit annoying. But what they're doing is they're asking, right? It's a charity drive. And so many charities are asking for money right now. And you may find that a little bit ironic because it's this time of year when you're thinking, I've got all this budgeting and I'm trying to get presents for all our kids and all of this. I don't have a whole lot more to give to a charity. Why didn't you ask me in, say, September, right? I might have some then, but December, it's a little bit tougher. I'm spoiling my family. But that right there is the wrong focus, right? Because charities understand something about this time of year. They understand the reason for the season, and the reason for the season is giving. And more people are going to give during this time of year than any other time. And it's been proven year after year, because that's what this time of year is all about. Christ being born a human changed everything. And we are so blessed that we can now, as God's children, bless each other and other people. God gave us his Son. He also gave us his Spirit. He gave us life. He gave us so many blessings. And the reality is, this extra blessing that we've received is meant sort of to overflow our cup to spill out onto others. Whenever we come and we've got so much blessing that we've received, we want to give that out. The book of John is a lot more different than the other three Gospels. Matthew and Luke, they really give us a detailed story on the birth of Christ. Mark gives us just a little bit of information, but John really turns things on its ear when he talks about that. Talks about the Word becoming flesh. Verse 14, that's what he says, that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, glory as the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. And then jump down to verse 16, he says, for from his fullness we have all received grace upon grace. John connects the birth of Christ to the blessing that we have received and the blessings that we continue to receive. That we have so many blessings, and the whole point of having these blessings is meant to share it. If Scripture were to say, you know what, you are not sharing your blessing, and so it's going to be stolen from you. You might think of something like Robin Hood, who robs from the rich and gives to the poor. Or if it said this blessing is going to be forcibly removed from you, you might think of something like communism, right? But Robin Hood and Karl Marx, they didn't write the Gospels. Jesus Christ did. And he never said, I'm going to steal the blessing from you. And he doesn't say, I'm going to forcibly remove it from you. What he does say is, I'm going to ask you to share it. And I think we should all be glad that he did. Because every single one of us here this morning, or if you're online, you are here because somebody shared that blessing with you at some time in your life. I'm convinced that the only reason that we still continue to show up on Sunday mornings, whether here physically or online, is because someone has shared their blessing with you, and that's a cycle that has to continue. Well, we have to continue sharing this blessing with the next generation. And the thing is, we might kind of consider, a lot of times we think about it as a budget. And we say, I get paid this much, and I can't go over that because that's not a good way to live. And so we try to manage my budget. And a lot of times, we try to think of blessings like that. And I think I've got to hold on to some and only give out a little bit in different places. But again, the thing is we forget sometimes that whenever we give the blessings that we have to others, God is going to continue to fill that blessing tank up even more. It says in John 10:10, Jesus said that I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. Jesus says, come not to just fill your cup. He says, come and overfill your cup. So through your cup being overfilled, other cups might be filled. And that's such a wonderful thing that God has done for us. This isn't only what we should do with, this is the only thing we should do with our extra blessing. Not only should we bless others, but we should also look to bless God. The psalmist in Psalm 67 says, may God be gracious to us and bless us and make his face shine upon us, that your way may be known on earth, your saving power among all nations. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all peoples praise you. Let the nations be glad and sing for joy, for you judge the peoples with equity and guide the nations upon earth. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. The earth has yielded its increase. God, our God, shall bless us. God shall bless us. Let all the ends of the earth fear him. You'll notice the psalmist asks for a blessing, but he qualifies it both times. He really focuses on this blessing so that we can receive it. That God's name be praised so that it may be known throughout all the earth. And that's kind of the way that we should be asking for blessings from God. Not just bless me so I can enjoy this, or so my family can enjoy this, or bless me so that I have enough to make it through to this next season of my life, or whatever reason, that the psalmist really has it right. Bless us, Lord, so that your name will be known everywhere. Bless us so much that when we share it with others, they can't help but notice God. They can't help but see that God is still doing some amazing things in this world. Whenever we show gratitude, God gets glory from our mouth. When we are generous, God gets glory from us. And those who we touch and who we give to, God gets the glory, those who receive. Paul would say in Colossians 3, verse 17, that whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Jesus would say in Matthew 5, 16, in the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. When we extend the blessing that we have received, God gets the glory. Or at least he should, right? That's when we know that we're doing it right. If it's sort of like a secret Santa. Whenever you give a present and you get no credit for it, but God gets all the glory, that means we're doing it right. But way too many times is we give and we want to put our from Mike Ellis on there, right? Here it is. This is from me. I want you to know that I thought about you, and what I really want is for you to reciprocate that back to me, right? Oh, that was such a thoughtful gift, Mike. That's what I want to hear. This is all right. So whenever I give the way that I am called to give, without it being about me, without it being about anything that I want or desire, and then I see you praise God through it, I think that's a really neat thing, that I'm blessed but by watching God bless you, right? And you do it, and then that sort of snowballs into that person providing a blessing to the next person. That's the kind of extra blessing that we want to have this week and going forward. And so as we kind of finish up this morning, I want to finish with an ancient blessing. Well, we just read it in Psalms. You can find it in Leviticus and Deuteronomy and in Numbers. And then we'll have an invitation song and then communion. But I want you to leave this building today, and I want you to leave in peace. And I want you to take that peace and sort of hold on to that as long as you can. The people of God, both Christians and Jews, for centuries have gave this blessing. I give it at the end of every funeral. May the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. May you today and this week be that extra blessing going forward into the next year. May you be that extra blessing that other people need. And so maybe this morning you're here and you need the extra blessing. Maybe you're here and you need to put Christ on in baptism. The baptismal waters are prepared for you to be baptized. Maybe you're here and you need the prayers of the congregation. Whatever your need may be, please come as together we stand and we sing.